Thank you, Jesus.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're coming from all walks of life, and I'm going to greet you coming from the Blog Talk. All walks of life, from every church affiliation, church denomination, from every economic strata, and from all backgrounds coming together to give God worship and praise. Oh, it's a wonderful thing for people to come together to praise Him. Let's join together, brothers and sisters, and give God adoration and praise for all the things He's done. There's so many things that He did for you and has done for you that you really haven't praised Him for. Some of us don't even know what He's done. We don't realize His goodness. But thank Him anyway for being so mighty and so wondrous and so amazing and so astounding and so esteemable and so benevolent. Oh, my God. So many things I can say about Him, but we just thank Him and praise Him. This is a good time to go to God in prayer, go to Him and worship Him and give Him glory and adoration and praise. One of the things I've started doing now is asking others to lead us in that first beginning prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Jerry Hall. Are you there, Sister Jerry Hall? All right. Thank you, Jesus. If you are, unmute your phone.
Yes, sir.
Can you lead us in our opening prayer today and give God glory and praise?
Yes.
Could you do that?
Yes. Yes, I can.
All right. The line is open to you.
All right. Lord Jesus, we just thank you on this Thursday morning, Lord. We just thank you for life. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your peace, your guidance, your word, your understanding, Lord Jesus. We just thank you on this morning, Lord. I thank first with prayer line just for listening and giving us food. Get us through the day, Lord Jesus. We just thank you on this morning, Lord. And we pray that everyone will be safe, Lord Jesus, and blessed on today and relaxed and calm, Lord. We just thank you on this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Just beautiful. And good morning to everybody on the prayer line. Everyone who's awake.
Good morning.
Can we speak?
Good morning.
I want to just thank God for you. Good morning to you. Amen.
Good morning.
Amen.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. God bless you and you and you everywhere. Now, I know some of y'all can speak to me, but can we speak to the Lord? Good morning, Lord.
Good morning,
Lord. Good morning,
Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Good morning, Lord.
Thank you for being here. God is good. Now, in just a moment, I want to do something that we are known for on this prayer line, that is giving God praise. I want every person from 616 and 847 and 919, I want to hear you, and 870 and 312, 3516. I don't know why you wouldn't open your mouth. God gave you a voice to praise it. 912 and 773 and 444 and 8317 and 708 and my God, 910 and 901 and so many other area codes, 314, so many others, 372 and oh my God. I want to just ask you, if you would honor God, 912, I want to hear you. Amen. It's a time to open our mouths. The enemy is going to try to keep you. I want to tell you, he's going to try to keep you from praising God. I found that out this year, that that's what the enemy was trying to do up in heaven. He hates for people to praise God. It's kind of like a king hating another king. He hates him praise because it makes him look like he's not a king. In fact, it does. because it makes him know that he's not the king, that God is the king. Through Jesus, we know he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yeah. So I want to hear you open your mouth and loose blessings upon yourself by praising God. When I say praise check, don't crawl, walk. And some of y'all run. Just open your mouth and come on in and don't be afraid to praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I want you to do this every morning. Amen. I don't want to have to say this every morning. I want you to know that we're looking for you to praise God. From all these area codes, don't let the enemy. See, the enemy is using this. I just discovered that this year the Holy Ghost spoke it to me. The enemy is using this witchcraft against church people. And you do remember, he's using witchcraft against the saints of God, too. You do remember reading in the scripture that if God did not shorten the time, even the very elect would be fooled. You do remember that, don't you? How are they going to be fooled? The same way he fooled one-third of the heavenly host up in heaven. That's why they had a war, because the devil had fooled one-third of them. And the Bible declared in the 12th chapter of Revelation that he drew one-third of the heavenly host with his tail. That's symbolical. In other words, he influenced them to leave the worship to God and to praise him. And they got kicked out of heaven. Well, I don't believe that's going to happen to any of us because we believe in praising God. Are y'all ready? Let's give him a praise check. Amen. And give him a glorious praise check. We're going to praise him for about 1 or 2 minutes, okay? Don't just say, I think that's it. Amen. Come on, everybody. Praise check from every area.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank
you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
The other day that he had gone on to glory. And I admired him so much. He used to give his testimony about all the things he had been through. See, he was alcoholic and all these other things and so many other things. But he was honest. He was very transparent. And in this day and time, these folk want to follow transparent people. It used to be when they used to want to follow people and they admire them because they were so perfect, they thought. But nowadays, these folk who are not saved, they want somebody who is a real example in life. I've been there. I used to be like you. But God saved me. And he picked me up and turned me around. That's transparency. God bless you. But we went to Mother Johnson's house last night, and the Holy Ghost said, ask the people to walk around the house with you. And I thought it might be strange. Just walk around the house with me. And I said, well, okay. And but I got to thinking, if we pray on this line to somebody we have never seen, and then we pray on this line, well, let me say the disciples were following someone after he died on the cross. They were meeting in this room, and all of a sudden he was in the room with them. Evidently he came to the door, came to the walls. They had the door locked. And we follow that Lord who's able to appear anywhere. Why would we believe that the Spirit of the Lord could be in Mother Johnson's house and we could join hands as brothers and sisters and pray through that? I tell you, they prayed a while, too. Oh, my God. And putting the blood of Jesus in the spirit realm on the doorpost, on every doorpost, and then on every corner. You know, the enemy likes to hide in corners and dark places. And I'm going to give you another word of wisdom. When you're praying, before you get through praying, if you're blessing your house, look up at the ceiling and speak the blood of Jesus for it that way. Because the enemy, the Holy Ghost showed me, he likes to hide on the ceiling. Think that you won't look up and plead the blood of Jesus there too. Amen. We're in a spiritual warfare. When have you ever seen the devil in real life? I know some of y'all say, I've seen it many times in some folks. Amen. But I'm talking about the devil himself. We have to do this spiritual warfare against Satan because he does come to kill, steal, and destroy. I want to just continue just for a few moments on a couple of things here. You got to watch that you be careful that you speak things that will bless you and your family, and that you bind the devil. And then the Bible wouldn't tell you to bind him in Matthew 16 and 18 if you weren't able, or if he wasn't able, if God wouldn't bind him, he wouldn't tell you to bind him. In other words, he wants you to speak it out in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you bind, Matthew 16, 19. Whatsoever you bind on this earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. You bind them by speaking it out. I bind you, devil. Oh, the blood of Jesus is against you. The blood. I bind you, devil, that person making that noise. I bind it in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is against it. Amen. You have to speak it out. I loose blessings. Amen. Up this morning, speak, Lord, I loose blessings on me and my family. Oh my God, that God will open the windows of heaven for us and pour blessings out upon us that we're not able to, don't have room to receive. See, you loose blessings upon your son. My son will be great. My son will accomplish great things in this life. I had enough faith. It's according to your faith. And thank God I'll join with you, but you have to speak it out. I have enough faith. The other night in our Wednesday night Bible study, I think I told you that I even had the young people they were grouped up, and I said, I speak this over you, that one of you shall become the president of the United States. See, but you got to have faith to believe that kind of thing. That's what I have faith to believe. And I loosed it on them. See, if you're not under leaders who don't believe that kind of thing, then you'll never get it. You'll never get it. I loosed on amazing grace in the name of Jesus, that God is going, as God is making millionaires around this world. Do you know he's making millionaires around this world? I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm losing this, then God is going to make some millionaires, many millionaires, right here at Amazing Grace. But see, that sounds crazy. But see, when you have faith, that sounds crazy. Crazy, you know, when you have that kind of crazy faith. Because, see, I believe that Matthew 17:20 says, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, and the mountain will get out of the way. It will move. And then Matthew, I believe, 21:21 tells it, if you have faith and doubt not, you can speak to the mountain and it shall be cast in the midst of the sea. I believe all that. But you got to have the faith to believe these type of things when you speak them. I believe in maybe 20 years from now, and I don't know if I'll still be here, but there will be a president that comes through Amazing Grace. But I see I spoke it out. And you have to be under leaders who believe those things, because you'll never have it spoken out if you don't. Amen. I got that loosing and binding, and I want you to take that all this year. If you loosen things on you all this year, do you think that you'll be better? I'm talking about loose positive things on you every morning. At the end of the year, do you think you'll be better off or worse off? I believe you'll be much, 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 much better off. Loose these things all year long, every day you get up. I loose that I'm more than a conqueror. I loose that I shall have a great day. I loose that spectacular things are going to happen for me. See, I loose that on my life already. Spectacular things will happen for me this year. Let's watch and see those spectacular things happen for me this year. Because I loose that on my life. I loose that on me. Amen. But you can loose it on yourself. That's up to you. I'm just telling you some of the things I'm loosed on myself. Whatever I bind on this earth, I bind. Last night we walked through Mother Johnson's house and just began to bind the devil everywhere. Bind the devil. See, the enemy heard me prophesy on Mother Johnson. And what did you prophesy, Dr. Johnson? I prophesied. Mother Johnson, I prophesied this boldly. I said, God told me to tell you, you can live as long as you want to live. That's what God said. I got it from when Hezekiah had been faithful and turned his face to the wall. And the prophet came and told him that, get your house in order, you shall surely die. He turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, I've been faithful. I walked up righteously before you. And before we got through praying, the prophet came back and told him, listen, the Lord said to tell you now that he's adding 15 more years, 15 more years to your life. And I got it. I went to Mother Johnson. I said, the Lord said, you can live as long as you want to live. But see, the enemy is trying to be so shrewd. He heard that as long as you want to live, which was right. Amen. God spoke it. Amen. But what he tries to do now is make the person not want to live. See, that's what an enemy does. He'll hear something and try to catch a little portion of it. That's why you got to watch what you loose. Yeah. You got to watch talking about, I'm tired of this, tired of that. Amen. Because the enemy will make you tired. You loose it on yourself. You got to watch talking about, I feel like I'm going to die. See, he waits to hear you say stuff like that. Because he goes to God and then accuses you. God, she gave me permission to kill her now. Because I heard her say she felt like she was going to die. She gave me permission to make her feel like she's going to die. Amen. And see, he catches things like that and takes them to God. And when you say those things, and God has to honor his word. Whatever you loose on this earth shall be loosed in heaven. You're going to watch. Stop saying, trying to find fault with the prayer line. Oh, look like the... you know, the front line is going down. Well, see, so you got to remember that Dr. Johnson loosed already that people who come against this prayer line, the curse is going to be reversed. So what happens is not going to make the prayer line go down. It's going to make you go down because already God has already loosed that in heaven, that anybody who comes against this prayer line that God told me to get prayer all over the world, the curse will be reversed. And all of a sudden you're going to find things that you've been looking for to go down and go down and go down. Yeah. And the prayer line will go up, 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 up. Amen. Because God said, get prayer all over the world. And I know that people will come. So you've got to watch things that you say. And loose blessings. See, over there in the 23rd chapter of Numbers, if you'll read it, Balak was trying to get Balaam, the prophet of God, to curse the children of God, curse Israel. And Balaam told him, I can't curse what God's blessed. While you're a child of God, the devil can't curse you. He could not do it. Balaam said, I can't do it. I'm sorry. He offered him several, just wealth and everything else, and then took him to several places and said, we'll give you this if you do it, if you do it. I can't curse whom God has blessed. But then in the 24th chapter, he kept on trying to curse the people of God. And you'll find it, I believe, around verse 19, a star shall come from heaven and destroy Edom. In other words, the curse had been reversed on the man who was trying. Balak was the king of Edom, I believe. And he said, a star shall come from heaven and destroy all of Edom. What does that mean? That the curse, the man who was trying to get Balaam, the prophet, to curse the people of God, that means that the curse was reversed on him. Amen. Be careful with it. God bless you. We love you. And we praise you. Praise God for what he's done here this morning. I want to just remind you, secondly, this is the thing I'm reminding you of, are those principles of how to recognize the real voice of God. If I could just get you all to get that in your mind and to live by those things, it would change your life forever in a positive, positive way. I told you those principles, amen, to recognize his real voice. Know that there are only two voices in this world. There is only a fight against good. Evil is fighting against good. Good is an entity. Evil is other. Found in Genesis 2 and 9. Then I said not only recognize there are only two voices, there could just be two voices. When have you, in Genesis, when have you ever heard of but two voices there? God's voice spoke, and then in the third chapter, the devil's voice came about. And all in Revelations, the end of the book, when have you ever heard of more than two voices? It talks about how Satan is thrown into the fiery furnace, and Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit in chapter 20. You never heard it talk about nobody else but the enemy, Satan, and then God. Amen. That's only two voices in this world that really affect mankind. The voice of good, which is God, the voice of evil, which is the devil. Secondly, the second principle is, since you know there are only two voices, don't let the devil fool you. Don't let him confuse you. See, that's what he wants to try to do. Confuse you by telling you, oh, no, there are three, there are four, there are five, there are six, there are 10 voices. No. There are only two voices that can speak to anybody. When have you ever had any other voice except the devil trying to speak to you and God trying to speak to you? And when you get that, that's 80% of the journey right there, 80%. Then you know the second principle is so simple, 50-50, which means if it ain't God, if it's not God, it has to be the devil speaking to you. Because there are only two voices. See, the enemy doesn't want you to believe that because he knows that makes him recognizable. You're able to hear him speaking even more clearly when he speaks. And he doesn't want that. Why would the devil want you to know that there are only two voices? He doesn't want you to know that because that exposes him. You can have a closer walk with God when you have that clear. Then secondly, that 50-50. Why does he want you? He doesn't want you to know that they're only two voices, because if it ain't God speaking to you, then you know immediately that it has to be the devil. The third thing is he doesn't want you to ask questions. Why would God tell me not to pay my tithes? Or you can take part of your tithes and hold it back today, because you know you got to pay that light bill. See, why would God say that to you? If you know the fourth principle is if God's word doesn't say it, if God's word disagrees with it, it has to be the devil speaking to you. Yeah. Why would God tell you, oh, you got to hold part of your tithes back and because you got to pay that light bill? When he knows that the word is you're cursed with the curse when you don't pay your tithes. God gives you 90% of your money to do everything you want to do with it. And he asks you only for 10%. Why would God tell you not to give all your 10%? Because he knows God wouldn't say that. Because he knows that would curse your life. Amen. Because the word of God has a curse in it there. If you don't pay your tithes and give all your tithes in the storehouse, you're cursed with a curse. Malachi 3. Amen. So, therefore, God would never say that. That has to be the devil that told you that, because he doesn't want you to be blessed. Because God not only has a curse in that scripture there against those who don't pay their tithes, but he has a blessing for those who do. See, will I prove me? He says, prove me and see will I open. This is Malachi 3. See will I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. So therefore, you know, it has to be God telling you to pay him and the enemy telling you, no, don't pay him all. Just take part of him here. Pay part of him. He wants to get you cursed. That's his reason. Ask why. Ask questions is what I'm on right now. That fourth principle, ask those questions. Lord, did you say this? God can speak for himself. He will speak to you if you just listen. Did you say this? Here's a girl who's 17 years old, wonderful future ahead of her, and she gets with some friends, some no good friends, and they in a car together, and two guys, and they pull up in front of this jewelry store and park and tell her, just wait here. And her boyfriend is one of them. She's with him, and he's going in, and they have some black something in their hand, and she's in the car with him. Well, now who told her to go with him? God asked questions. Did the Lord say go with them, or was it the enemy? Because when they pulled up and stopped, and they both got out, the men got out, they went in this jewelry store. Before they went in, they put on black masks and went in there and pulled a gun out and robbed this jewelry store. And the man who was the owner, when they tried, there was a lady in the jewelry store, pushed her on the floor and put his foot on her head. And the owner of the jewelry store told him, leave it alone. Not part of him. They shot him in the chest. Now, that girl in the car, who told her to go with them? Who told them to do that? It was all the devil. Because now she, even though she's a wonderful young lady, has a good family, but because she's with them, she's guilty too. Yeah, she's in the car. And they come out running from the jewelry store with all the jewels and shot and assaulted the lady by putting her foot on her head. And she's still there in the car. She didn't drive off, so she's guilty now. And when they catch him and take him to court, guess what? That young lady who hasn't done anything, she's going to have to go to prison too just because she's with them. But who told her to go with them? Let me tell y'all this, and I'm closing here today. You got to learn to recognize the real voice. Nobody gets it all the time. But I asked the Lord the other day, I said, Lord, why is it that the devil is giving his people millions upon millions upon millions and millions of dollars, and God, your people are barely making it? They don't have money sometimes, but pay their rent, even to pay light bill and gas bill. And Satan's people is getting millions and millions. Let me give you an example. You watched the Super Bowl the other day when the Denver Broncos won. Amen. The quarterback for the Broncos who won, name is Peyton Manning. Uh-huh. And when they interviewed him, even though that's a wholesome sport and he good guy and everything else, and my God, they won the Super Bowl, the greatest football plateau in the world. They won. What did he say? They went to interview the man who was, you might say, the MVP of the Super Bowl. What did he say? The first thing he said when they asked him, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to have me a Budweiser. Who you think told him to say that? That rippled all across the world. Young people who put him up on a pedestal as great, great, great. All of a sudden, he said, I'm going to have me some Budweiser. Amen. Do you think God told him to say that? Or do you think the devil told him to say that? Young people who had put him up on a pedestal, what are they going to try to be doing now? Drinking everywhere. Those who had not tried drinking, don't try it. Because the MVP, the one who won the Super Bowl, the enemy spoke to him and told him, don't say across the world, you're going to go have you a Budweiser. Yeah. And my point is, what do you think he got for saying that? Who do you think gave him the money? What do you think he'll make probably on endorsements this year, over $50 million this year, just off endorsement? He's retiring, but if he wasn't retiring, they'd hire him probably. He could get a contract for 10 years, if he lasts that long, for over $200 million. The payoff for saying what? For being used of the devil, saying, I'm going to get me a Budweiser. Young people who weren't alcoholics, who can't handle just drinking like that, would become alcoholics. See, the enemy gives his people millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. I don't know if Peyton Manning belongs to the devil or not. All I'm saying is that the devil did use him in that instance. I know for him to say that, amen, and the proof is in the pudding of what he is, what side he's on, because God's people would have never said, I'm going to get me a Budweiser. But the payday for him was great, or will be great, amen, because he said that. Amen. We gotta serve the Lord. I ask him, God, why are we not getting paid? God said, I'm trying to do you, mold you and shape you all, because if you had it now, then the enemy would try to make you do exactly like the lottery and like the Powerball. They get that millions of dollars, and then just a few weeks, two or three years later, it's all gone. Why? Because when you get money, people come to you from everywhere. Every cousin you got, every no matter who you are, they'll find you. Because people find folks who have money. They try to get your money. He said, I'm taking you through now. I'm taking all y'all through now. Dr. Stern, he's taking you through now. So when he gives it to you and gets over here on the other side, the enemy won't be able to manipulate you because you've already been through the storm. I already been through that. Amen. God will fix it. I know I told you all that the other day, but God has me saying, see, God is a God of repetition. He'll say things over and over again to get it in your spirit, in your heart. Check out the Word of God. He's the God of repetition. All through the Old Testament, you'll find things repeated. When you get to the New Testament, you'll find things over and over in the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John look like they're saying the same thing. Why? God is a God of repetition. He wants to get things in your heart and in your mind. And so he wants to mold you and shape you before he gives you that financial blessing. So I guarantee you, if you've been through so much here on this earth, and God bless you financially, you're going to keep that money. Nobody will be able to get your blessings out of your hand for sure if you've been through enough storms on the other side. I hope you're hearing me and understanding what I'm saying. I try to speak in a simple way so everybody can understand what I'm telling you. That's why Paul said over there in the 12th chapter, I take glory in persecutions, and I take glory in in necessities. Maybe I don't have the right word, but you understand what I'm saying. But I treasure these things, and I go through them without complaining. Why? Because I know God is molding me and shaping me and getting me ready to handle my blessings. See, some of y'all wouldn't be able to handle that kind of blessing right now. You want it, but he's got to shape you and get you ready to handle what God is bringing to you. I've talked long enough. God bless you. I love you, and I thank God for you. Remember those principles. I forgot the last one, the last principle, how to recognize his voice. That principle is this. Know or learn to recognize the voice of the enemy. Now, that's easy because the devil speaks in retrograde. He speaks in backward motion. Everything he says is the opposite is true. If he tells you that you ain't nothing, amen, the opposite is true. Go to Chicago, you are something. If he tells you that you're not going to make it, the opposite is true. Go to Chicago. If he tells you that you're always going to be broke, that means that you're not going to be broke. If he tells you that you're never going to be debt-free, go to Chicago because that means you're going to be debt-free. See, everything he's saying tries to get you to go the other way, and then he's trying to get you to speak out and loose things on yourself that would cause you to be that way. Don't let him do it. God bless you. I'm through here today. Give us a couple of praise reports. Amen. Anybody waiting to give us a praise report for the Lord? I want to hear it. Amen. The line is open to you. Anybody? You got a praise report? Just come on in there and unmute your phone while I'm speaking here and give us at least two praise reports. Anybody on the line? Just jump right in there. The line is open to you.
I want to thank God this morning. This is Stacey Mohegan. I want to thank God this morning for my sister. She's doing much better in Jackson, Mississippi, in the hospital. The doctor's taking her down for tests. She's been in there almost 2 weeks. They transferred her from one hospital to the other. So this morning, she reported to me that they're taking her down for tests, and they find nothing wrong with her heart. Oh, my God. And I thank God for that. I thank God.
We're praying in God to do. Amen. Thank you.
Thank God for that.
Somebody ought to give God a praise because God did that, and we just glory in him. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Bless you, Dr. Lisa.
Thank you.
And I want to give a praise report. We prayed for Elder Owens. It was John Owens. I mean, he was low sick. And you know, on the prayer line, prayed for him. And I went out to the hospital, took our ministry board out there the other day. And as soon as we came in the door, he was walking down the hallway. Oh, my God. And the nurse was giving him exercise. He walked so far, I said, Elder Owens, we'll meet you back at your room. Amen. And thank God he's doing much better. Amen. Is there one more praise report of what God did for you? Anybody else?
For you. Thanks, Lord.
All right, go ahead. If you have a praise report, speak up.
Hey, this is Brother Lonnie. Good morning. I'd just like to, you know, Give thanks to the Lord for allowing me to see a new day, for giving me the breath to praise him, helping my right mind to give me the courage to go forward on another day, to acknowledge him in all my ways and everything that I do. I ask the Lord to guide my path, so that I may sidestep the snares and the traps and that are out there in the world. I just give the honor and the glory to him on the day, and all that I'm doing it for him. And I just pray that the strength that he continues to strengthen me to guide me and to work through me. I was working out the other day. I'm so tired. God, excuse me. I work and I work a little hard sometimes. That's a good thing. So I thank the Lord for that too. And I was just meditating on the Lord, and I just asked him to manifest and reveal himself to me and to
let me ask you a question, Brother Lonnie. Have you ever heard the Lord speaking to your heart, saying that I want you to minister?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard him to endow me with the word and to instill it in my heart?
Your heart, listen to me. Have you ever heard him speak in your heart saying that I'm putting a calling on your life to preach the word or not?
I have.
Okay. I want you to get ready. I want you to start fasting and praying and know his voice. I explained it on this line, how to really recognize his voice.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'll get with you more. And you want to make sure that God is speaking to you and that God is calling you. Amen. And God is so amazing. Look at here. We just lost Minister Freeman. And I hear the Lord saying to me to tell you it's time. Amen. For you to step up to the plate. You've heard him calling. You've heard him. If you've heard the voice of the Lord moving on you to step up. Move up. Why would the devil tell you to step up? Why? Ask questions. Ask why. Why would the enemy speak to you and tell you, son, take the mantle. I've called you to speak. If you heard his voice saying that, why would he do that? Why would the devil do that?
I will see you, Pastor. Now, you know, many have been called.
Yeah. Let me say something on the line. I want everybody to catch this because some of the things that I say are so unusual, and I give the glory to God. But I want to say to you, it's all about the money. Did you hear me?
Amen.
I said it's all about the money. See, and I say that because the Bible says that the love of money is the root to all evil. Am I saying that you love money? No. Follow me out here. The love of money is the root to all evil. What is the root? The root is where everything comes from. Amen. It is, let me put another word for it. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. The root is the foundation. Yeah. It's like a plant. The foundation of the plant is the root. Yeah, it's from where everything comes from. It's the foundation. It's based on that. You know what I'm saying? So the love of money, what is money? I taught y'all on this line that money is really power. That's what it is. It's when you walk up in Walmart and step up to the counter with several things, guess what she wants to see? She wants to see your power. What power do you have to get these things? Well, I got this credit card here that they have told me that I have $500 on, and it's still good. And they run that, you swipe that thing to that machine, and it goes, approved. That means that you have the power to get those things. See? And so money is power. Yeah. If you're going to get engaged, you need power to get that ring. They want to see what kind of power you got. So money is power. So the love of power. When Jesus came out of the wilderness in chapter 7 of Matthew, what did the devil try to do? He tried to tempt him, and he said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. I know you're hungry. Then he took him up to a high mountain and showed him all the power of the world. The kingdom of the world represents the power of the world. He showed Jesus the power of the world. I said, I'll give you all this if you'll bow down and worship me. See, the devil, the love of power is the foundation to all evil. Well, who is all evil? Nobody is all evil except the devil. So the love of power is the foundation to the devil. The love of power is the foundation to Satan's kingdom. Everything that's ever been done evil to you, everything was about power. Was about power. Yeah. People wanting power. You were on your job. They're trying to get the power from you. They don't like you because you got a good job and you weren't the supervisor. They don't like you because you'd be in the elevator. See, power They'll do, and so they lied on you because you had power. Yeah. Or either